You might have heard the phrase 1% problems, the problems that the wealthy have to deal with, that less wealthy people would sometimes just love to have, like someone keyed the porch, my kid didn't get into Harvard, Cabo's getting too crowded. Well, it is easy to just roll our eyes dismissively. Wealthy people are people. They're actually people. They're human beings. And one of those people is Jennifer Risher. She joined Microsoft in 1991. She had no idea at that time the path she was about to take would change her life forever. She joins me now to talk about her new book called We Need to Talk, A Memoir About Wealth. Hello there.
Hi, Bruce. Nice to be here.
Well, it's great to have you. Who would you say this book is for? And why do we, quote, need to talk?
Okay. Well, you know, I wrote the book because my story is one I'd want to know about if it hadn't happened to me. But I also wrote the book, and who's this for? It's for the millions of Americans like me who have more money than they had growing up. Or maybe they have more money than those in their extended family or than most of their friends. I'm sharing my story to help other people understand their own. And my goal is not to show people how to do rich right. I don't have the answer for that. I'm simply offering up a story that hasn't been told.
I think that's a really valuable conversation for us to have. The first thing that some of our listeners will have to confront is, well, I mean, how could she have any problems at all? Like, do we really need to have this conversation? Bruce, you should really be focused on, you know, other things that are going to make a difference for me. What do you say to those for whom the circumstances are markedly different? They do not have and will not have the wealth that you have. And some people be like even offended that you're bringing this to the discourse.
You know, it's hard to imagine wealth as a challenge that needs to be overcome. And certainly, yes, money makes life easier. So no one needs to cry any tears over my situation. I've been super lucky. But we are not talking to each other. And I think it's a problem when we aren't discussing things that come up in our lives, a problem for us as individuals, as people, because wealth can be isolating. It creates distance. But I think it's a bigger problem for our society. Right now, there's so many people suffering, people going without healthcare, without housing, without food. And silence keeps the status quo in place. I'm hoping that by talking, we can fight income inequality.
I'll just read a brief paragraph from near the top of the book. You said, over the last decades, I've had a friend ask for $25,000. Another tell me she almost didn't invite our family to join hers to see a Cirque du Soleil show, concerned we'd only want seats that they couldn't afford. I've worried about our children lacking motivation, discovered philanthropy isn't as straightforward as just writing a check, and grappled with the meaning of, quote, enough, not life or death issues, but real when living them day to day. It really is a compelling insight into the challenges that you face. If you were to summarize the essence of what that is, what those challenges are, what would you say?
I'd say the isolation and the distance that wealth can create in relationships with family, with friends. Because in the end, money really doesn't make us happier. What makes us happy is those connections with other people, the quality relationships that we have. And when wealth comes between us, when there are awkward situations, you know, like you said up front, we're all human. Our needs, our basic human needs are all the same. When it comes to our basic humanity, we want to connect with each other. That's where happiness exists.
You share an anecdote about a colleague named Steven talking about stock options and your jealousy that his were worth more than yours. You are a big believer today about talking about money. I can see that within people in the same economic class, but how does it work when people don't share those circumstances? How do you talk about it with people for whom, you know, maybe they're not going to the food bank, but they're certainly struggling to keep a roof over their head?
You know, I really think we need to start by talking to the people closest to us, because that's not happening. And in many situations, we're not talking to our parents. or to our kids or to our friends. And the reason that we don't talk is not the money itself, it's the emotions behind the money. So, and these emotions are universal. It doesn't matter how much is in your bank account. If you have parents, if you have a partner, siblings, you probably know that that money is uncomfortable to discuss. And I want to encourage us, I want to invite us to get uncomfortable, address those awkward money moments, because on the other side is a sense of connection, sense of relief, a chance to learn from each other.
You met your husband, David, at Microsoft. He then went off to Amazon. I think all of our listeners may have heard of that particular company. What were the hardest lessons that you learned as a couple navigating this life transformation with him?
You know, we're fortunate in that we both have a similar view of money. We both grew up, you know, saving our pennies and frugal and not wasteful. So we didn't, you know, sometimes in a couple, one's a spender and one's a saver, or they don't have the same view. So together, we were very fortunate. I think we were both surprised by how wealth didn't change us as much as we might have expected.
Your daughter, Emily, was born in 1997. What changed about how you think about wealth after she arrived into your arms?
Well, so with her, it was amazing. Motherhood opened this new world for me. A curtain lifted suddenly. I couldn't believe how incredible it was to be a mom. And I connected with other new moms. We shared so much in common. And at the same time, this other world had opened. I suddenly had all this money. And in that world, I felt like I couldn't tell anyone. People always think, oh, the rich worry about people liking them for their money. But I wasn't worried about being liked for what we had. I was worried about being hated for it. Mm-hmm. I didn't want anyone to know.
How do you address that now? Obviously, you're being very public about it. You wrote a book. But do those fears still exist for you?
Yes, they do. But I feel it's so important to talk, to shine a light on reality. Again, I think unless we see what's really going on, I mean, people with wealth are not all the Kardashians or the parents who illegally tried to get their kids into schools that they weren't qualified for. People with wealth are hidden in plain sight. We're everywhere. And unless we kind of talk to each other and see the reality, how can we make changes?
What is your view today of income inequality? You're American. There's a whole other layer there, given the way your healthcare is set up, very different than here in Canada. How do you think about income inequality? What do you think needs to change?
So much needs to change. I am not happy with our society right now. We're too divided. There are people, and I love the healthcare that exists in Canada. Our healthcare system is completely broken. It should be a right for everyone. I hate that people don't have health care, that don't have housing, they don't have enough to eat. There's an education crisis. I think income inequality is one of the most serious problems that our country faces right now, and which is a reason we need to start talking to each other, get rid of the us versus them mindset, and come together as a country.
The other dynamic that is very relevant and resonant right now is systemic racism and the Black Lives Matter movement and all that goes along with that for those in positions of power and positions of privilege to use those strengths to make the world a better place. What are specific things that you believe wealthy folks like yourself can do to make a difference in those areas? Now, I'm presupposing that that's a value for you, and I probably shouldn't do that.
Absolutely.
Based on the book, it probably is.
It absolutely is. I mean, we need to step up, and I think I have privilege in the fact that I have wealth. I have privilege in the fact that I am white. And I hate the fact that there's so much systemic racism in our country. We need to act and speak out. My husband and I have been doing a lot of philanthropy. We just finished this thing called Half My DAF Challenge, where we put up $1 million to get people giving, to inspire giving. And our million has turned into 8 million. We've encouraged that many people to give to nonprofits and give now.
Wow. Well, Jennifer, thank you for joining us today. I wish we had more time. I appreciate your time, and I appreciate your book as a catalyst to this whole conversation. Thank you.
Thank you, Bruce. Thanks for having me on.
Jennifer Risher is the author of We Need to Talk, a memoir about wealth. It tells a very personal story, but it also includes at the end of every chapter, contemplation and conversation questions, which are pretty amazing. Really a great way to get the conversation started with the people around you.